Blog Talk Radio.
That lag time there. Hey, welcome to Cure Bee Monsters, the Sunday show. And today it's myself, Gwen Berry, with my co-host, Wayne Johnson. And we're going to introduce the show with a little something old.
Taking care of business.
somebody's got to. Have I still got you, Wayne? Wayne?
Oh, boy.
Hello? Can you hear me now? Okay, we're having a little bit of trouble. And, hey, this is the Sunday Show with Gwen Berry and nobody else today, right now, at the moment. A little Bachman Turner Overdrive. I'm going to wait a few minutes here and keep you attuned with us, waiting for my co-host Wayne Johnson to call back in. But perhaps I don't know. Maybe the stations aren't open on his end. This week we were going to speak about current affairs and one of the current affairs that is going on right now. Wayne, if I got you back.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what happened there, but I kind of lost you.
It was the boom power of Bachman Turner Overdrive.
That's what it was. It just couldn't handle it.
Yes, well, you know, somebody's got to take care of the business. And it's been a long time since I've heard that song. And I had forgotten it was as lengthy as it is, but it's a good song. And
it does talk to you.
So as I was just saying to our audience that we were going to talk about current topics from this week, and since you haven't had enough microphone yet, perhaps you can kick it off.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first off, I want to start off that growing up, Bachman Turner Overdrive, that song had to be done by every cover band I ever knew back in the 70s.
Yeah, right. But I was thinking I was supposed to be rolling a joint.
Me too. So, boy, we had a lot going on this week. One of the things that I liked, I guess, is more prevalent in my mind was Karl Rove has had to spend hundreds of million dollars just in the primary races for the Republican Party to purge out the extreme Tea Party aspects out of the Congress and the Senate for not only current ones, but those that were challenging some of the more mainline Republicans holding office now.
Well, not only that, but he... He did some of his two-step dancing like he did with Donald Segretti when he was working for Nixon, and started doing some rat fucking with Hillary Clinton. You know,
yes.
Let's make her look like a doddering old simpleton by saying so, and yet, you know, I am not a Hillary supporter any longer. However, let me say this. Roe, any Republican and most Democrats coming up against Hillary, she could take them all with both hands tied behind her back. Not only can she outwit them, she knows more than they do. She's got more strategy than they do. She has more on the ball as far as what is genuinely going on in the world and waking people up to it in the world, you know, as far as it goes. And she could really whip them at debate. That's just... You know,
yeah, those are just truisms and given.
She's a white woman, okay? She's a white woman. She is not, she's not an African American who's going to stand there and be the smarter person on the podium. She's a white woman, so there's a lot. The only thing they can attack is her sexuality, and if they do that, not her sexuality, her sex. And if they go do that, they're going to throw about half of the supporters they do have left against them because they're women.
Exactly. 51% of the population are women in this country. And you start attacking even a father like myself who has two daughters, you go attacking her for, oh, she can't do the job because she's a female. You know, like I said, as a father of two daughters, and I've raised them that you can do anything you want if you set your mind to it and do it.
Yeah, that's the way I was raised, by a Republican mother. You know, there's nothing you can't do. If you can dream it, you can do it. You have to believe in yourself and pick them up and lay them down and, you know, remember
absolutely.
The barrel.
Yep, no, you're absolutely right. But the thing is you got to remember Karl Rove and also Lee Atwater that were just experts at this dirty trick aspect.
Yeah.
McCain, back when it was W. Bush and McCain running for the primary of
ruined John
John McCain. I'm sorry, yeah, John McCain and against W. Bush.
Yeah.
He'd won some primaries, and so when they got to North Carolina, they said, "Well, would you vote for a man who fathered a black child, you know, half black child, like McCain had had a relationship with a black woman?" And what it was, she was his adopted daughter from India.
Right. Yeah, I know.
But they dirty tricked, torpedoed his campaign, and he never recovered from that.
No, he didn't. So, he didn't even recover himself. I mean, I talked during that election. I sat with him, with a friend of mine, and talked to John McCain one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
You know, sat three of us with him. And I liked him. I didn't agree with him on much, but I liked him because he was being sincere with us. And he really had some commitment. And you know, I liked him. And that's saying a lot. And yet, by the end of his campaign with Bush, he was a completely different person. And the campaign he ran against Obama, and the way he's politics since then, he's an insane, you know, head shoved so far up the other orifice he can't see straight. I mean, I don't get it. You know?
At one time I had a lot of respect for John McCain, but, you know, he's got to keep his job and to keep that paycheck flowing, he has, you know, placated to the more extreme aspects that have permeated now my Republican Party.
Well, it's not just the Republican Party, it's the Democrats and even the independents. It's what corporation has purchased you.
Oh, that's true, too. I was alluding more towards the Tea Party aspects and those that's claiming the more conservative aspects.
The Koch brothers have already dumped, they've dumped like $35 million already into campaign dirty tricking. Down here, Marco Rubio and that towering giant of, you know, of integrity.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a guy who will lie to you. This is a snake in the grass, his mother would say. You know, this guy would lie to you. If you were standing on water, he'd tell you you were in deep sand. The guy is saying that climate change has nothing to do with industrialization or people. And yet the sea levels are rising so much that in his own hometown of Miami, the streets get flooded twice a month because of it. I mean, this is kind of in ignorance that is put out to the public by candidates who are bought and paid for. He's pandering to the highest bidder. But
absolutely.
And the Koch brothers have already slung over $35 million into, you know, peppering different elections around the country so that their candidates are being, you know, getting all the airtime and the television time and yada, yada, yada. They're projected what is the name of their organization for the Tea Party? Patriots, or I can't remember.
Well, they call themselves Patriots, but there's a lot of subgroups that have several different names. I'd have to go look those up, but you have me at a disadvantage on those. But, like there's the Heritage Foundation. That's one that comes to mind.
Well,
that's basically a bought and paid for.
They have their own little specific group here, and I'm going to get it on my board here so that I can say by name who it is. But they've already put out good Lord, they've already put out, 100, they're going to, they've pledged $160 million to this election cycle rolling into November. And they're going to do everything they always do, and that is just lie. And of course, Koch Industries is backing many of these Tea Party and Republican people, but the corporations also own most of the Democrats that are running too. That's true. There's a lot of it is going on. It's not confined to just one party.
And
there's a tell-all coming out, about the Koch brothers by the Mother Jones editor. Good Lord, what is his name? It's going to be called Sons of Wichita, How the Koch Brothers Became America's Most Powerful and Private Dynasty, by Daniel Shulman.
Interesting. That'd be an interesting read.
Yeah, and you know what kicks me is they'll talk about how Fred Koch was a...
The father?
Yeah, was a real... Yeah. Oh, what a mean son of a bee. But he was a real backer of the fascist regimes of World War II, Mussolini and Hitler. But they don't talk about their German side of the family over there, who not only backed him, but I mean, their aunt was put on trial for having the lampshades made out of,
the human skins. Yeah, with the tattoos. I remember that. They skinned the tattoos and made a lampshade out of it. Well, the thing is, old Fred Koch. I'm sorry.
She was the only woman put on trial at Nuremberg. I mean, and they never talk about that. They don't. Not even others. Which is a...
And the thing is that hasn't changed, because in the 60s, when Kennedy was a president, of course, that was the same old mudslinger. Oh, he's a communist. He's ruining the country. And then Fred Koch funded... They called themselves the John Birch Society, and they were Minutemen, not patriots. So the sons are just carrying on exactly what the old man did. They're basically embracing the neo-Nazi, the Klansmen, the John Birch Society, and their new name, and now they go by Tea Party. It's all the same paint.
Yeah, but it's all got this purpose of it is really it comes down to exactly what Occupy stood against, and that's the corporations and the banking powers that be having the control over our country and its leadership. And it's not just this country. We've seen it happening all over.
This is multinational corporations controlling the world through financial means.
And it's so funky that it's just one corporation over another. Who's going to be richer? Because basically, our Secretary of State for the first 4 years of Obama's term, she boarded that jet for the Department and she went around for 4 years and she shored up the TPP treaty, which engages corporations over governments to further industrial resourcing. In other words, the pillaging and plundering of our natural resources on a global scale, and made some deals with China too. That lady is not the kind of person I want to see in any kind of leadership position, even though I acknowledge the fact that she is the brightest, the smartest, and probably might swing a lot of ways that I would agree with. She's out there making money. The biggest corporation she's working for is Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Well,
you know how many billions these guys are controlling right now? This is a woman who sits on the who has sat on the board at Walmart.
Yeah. Right. Well, and Tyson. Don't forget Tyson Foods.
Right. You got it. I mean, these are colors that are flying up in the air, but nobody's seeing, because the mainstream media, of course, we talk every weekend about this, is not showing those colors.
Yes, she does have her pitfalls and stuff, but like I said, with what you're going to have to choose from, you know, is she the lesser of the two evils? Maybe so. Now, but go back to, some people ask me, why do I continue my Republican affiliation? And my main first reply is because it pisses off all the right people. I want to work within my party to change this, you know, to my way of thinking. And
I see your point. I understand what you're saying. You actually have conservative, and your conservation is a kind that is good for the community. I understand what you're saying. You know, I really do. I understand what people who feel like Jack, who feel that they're progressive. They don't feel it. They are progressive. Jack's very progressive. And I have lots of friends down here. In the last election, the last presidential election, everybody was just shocked that I would not, you know, help out to reelect the president. I was like, geez.
Right.
You know, I learn and grow. What have you done? You know, are you you know, I can't tell you. I will never forget the joy and the happiness and the cheers and the martini pitchers we consumed the night that Obama was elected. We really, that was a really great night. And the point is, though, that was the last time I intend to be suckered in.
I can understand. Yeah, you've been jaded because, you know, Guantanamo is still open. You know, we're still carrying on the war in Afghanistan. You know, it just, you know, yada, 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 okay, as we would say up in the Mid-Atlantic and then New England. It's just more things changed, the more they stayed the same.
I would say to you, Wayne, it's gotten worse. If you take a look at the personal program of this president to wage war with drones and all of the lives, innocent lives lost that way, you know, and the NSA and
the NSA spying on the people is through the Patriot Act. I was hoping that was going to be ended, but, you know, and matter of fact, it was a very good program. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was talking.
Okay, and there was a very good program here recently on, I think it was Frontline, talking about Snowden, how he basically re-exposed it, but actually it was exposed of what W. Bush and Cheney and all the legal counsel they had in the White House that said, yeah, we're going to deem this as being not illegal, but everybody else in the NSA and the Justice Department said, no, you are trampling all over the Fourth Amendment. You're trampling all over the First Amendment. This is illegal. And finally, Bush, in his re-election for 2004, came out and said, well, yeah, we're doing this program here, and but it's real important that, you know, we need to, you know, basically stomp all over the Constitution because, you know, we can't stand to have another attack, and we need to listen to people. And I, first thing that jumped in my head is, yeah, well, let's go ahead and round up the Japanese again like we did in World War II, only this time let's make them Arabs.
Well, and Obama carried these policies right through, and they're still torturing people. They're still using it, and they never look towards it. Keith Olbermann got shoved off the air because he was saying, this is wrong. We didn't elect you under these circumstances. You're lying. They took him right off the air, you know, and basically he began to walk in that same direction where he went, and they did it again.
Just because you're speaking the truth doesn't mean people want to hear you.
Well, no, there are a lot of people that are waking up. My sister has a client that comes here to the house sometimes to see her on Sundays, and she was a school teacher. She's African American. She was a school teacher. She's retired now. She was a school teacher for years up in New York. And she's a pretty savvy lady. She's very well educated, very well spoken, and she's got a, what I would call a very good and committed heart to, you know, humanity and the community. But she's just so jaded. I mean, the last time I saw her, she generally hasn't been around for over a year or 2 years because my sister, she goes to see my sister where she works. But she was here today, and she doesn't even have a good word left for Obama, and I never thought that would happen.
People
are waking up. People are waking up. Even when they can't get the news, they know things are no good. They know things are broken, and they've been lied to, and it really is strange to hear someone say, you know, well, I just don't listen to any of them anymore. They're all lying to you, and they're all being paid by the highest bidder.
Right. Well, again, you know, I can remember it was a town debate or a town meeting, and this one, and it was with the president, and this black woman stood up, and basically in summation, she says, look, I supported you. I voted for you. I had a lot of faith in you. But right now, I'm getting a card of making apologies for you. And that pretty well summed it up. And, you know, because she was a black lady, she could say that, and it had, you know, meaning and merit to it when she said it.
Well, and there's just so much. I mean, I watch these bastards in Washington who, you should pardon my language, who do nothing. They've done nothing, nothing for how many years? Nothing. And they, except raise their own paychecks. I mean, really, I never respected people who sat back an armchair quarterback like that and would say, oh, you know, they're just, pardon me, they're just, you know, Washington, they're all full of crap and they never really do anything. And it, because I said, no, that's not true. There's, you know, the business of the country is on. And I really, paying attention to it, understanding the details of what goes on, making myself well-read and as informed as I can be about things, it's true. They've been doing nothing except beating each other up and trying to drag down a black man in the White House. That's a big deal. That's the big thing. And basically nothing else. And it's all run around in these little circular arguments that have no bearing on getting the country cleaned up, communities reestablished, or our infrastructure back in gear, or any, they aren't doing anything, nothing, nothing.
Well, that's, I can't argue with that. You're absolutely right. This bit of nothing more than saying no and just being obstructive and really not trying to do anything of coming up to a coherent addressing of real problems. And that's the sin of it all.
Or any kind of cooperation with one another. You know, that's one of the big things that I've been trying to provide with us. You know, it's three of us who have come from three different spectrums, but we agree on a great deal because we have the same integrity for life. And I just don't think nations are worth it. I got to tell you, Wayne, I think nationalism should die. I really do. I think it should be humanity for Earth and, you know, each of us in our communities getting it done. I don't know. I tell you, I simply don't think it works. Capitalism failed.
There's many times I wake up in the morning realizing, I woke up this morning on the wrong side of capitalism sometimes, especially after W. Bush and Cheney totally destroyed the economy with those Republicans in the House who had control of the House and the Senate at that time. That's why, like I said, my motivation was to, you know, work within to try to change and purge this out. The congressman that I did a lot of projects with, Wayne Gilchrist. He was the congressman from the 1st District of Maryland. He was an environment. He was a Republican, but he was very much environmental. And these are the projects that I, with his aid, you know, fought the environmental battles with. And because I had the weight of the congressman behind it, we were able to make some real changes in the area of those that were ready to just pimp off the county to any polluter that came along. And but then finally, it was Andy Harris, who's a bought and paid for corporate shill, who had the money behind him, and he had the Tea Party of the members there on the peninsula, the Delmarva Peninsula, who basically, like I said, were the Tea Party on the shore. I will say this about them. I can't say, I won't use a generalized statement to say all Tea Party members, but basically they were the sons and daughters of the old Klan and, you know, the separatists and the segregationists still within the area. And they, after many years, purged Wayne Gilchrist out because, and the reason being was, he voted with the Democrats to bring home the troops from Iraq. Now, this is a man who has a Gold Star, Navy Cross, and a Purple Heart from his time as a Marine in Vietnam. This man is a true war hero, well decorated. And he said, yeah, it's time to bring these boys home. Well, you know, and many of these people in the Republican Party probably never served themselves, but they were highly outraged that he broke ranks with the Republicans and basically in the primaries went with his corporate shill, Andy Harris, over him. And the area has never been the same.
Well, it basically, what it boils down to is, I mean, you know, the only reason we're over there, why troops are ever anywhere, is for the greater glory of somebody's profit. It's about,
absolutely.
It's about developing. It's like Ukraine now. Right now, Ukraine is a primary, and we're giving them lots of money because we want to develop, help to develop their natural resources. Hell with help develop. We want to plunder as much profit as we can from them. That's what it's all about. There's nothing about, we are on the wrong side of history. We're on the wrong side of humanity, and most of the leadership is too, because it's like the Occupy movement tried to bring to the forefront. It's all about the money. One of my favorite movies is, of course, the story of those two hero journalists who caught the guys from that, you know, bugging of the Democratic National Headquarters. And the whole thing boiled down to follow the money, follow the money.
Exactly.
The money.
Exactly.
And that's what it's been ever since. It really has. It's just
Wilbert and Bernstein is who you're speaking of, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. It, you know, if I want to think about the good times, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
And Woodward and Bernstein anymore are just as bought and paid for and slapped down as anybody else. It's like, you guys are sellouts, major sellouts. It's like seeing Bob Dylan anymore. I mean, that's a major sellout.
I remember Woodward was invited to do a personal documentation of the W. Bush, and he asked him some hard questions about, you know, some of the things he was doing. And Bush's reply back to him was, well, you're just part of that intelligentsia group. In other words, oh, you're doing critical thinking and think for yourself and asking hard questions? Excuse me. He says, you know, you're obviously part of the intelligentsia, as if it was a derogatory term.
Yeah.
You know, of asking me this obviously blatant, obviously question.
Yeah. Yeah, when you've got people in power who actually respond to questions that way, questions that are vital, questions that are necessary, questions that I was always taught leadership was supposed to be ready to answer.
Yeah.
You know, everything's backward. everything is backwards. So what's the solution? I know everybody, it is to do your best to work with what's available. What I do is I work with, and I feel like I probably have an opportunity to vote for a woman in the next presidential election, but it won't be Hillary. It'll be the same woman I voted for the last time, the Green Party.
Okay.
I got to tell you, going back to saying, you know, I know it's not your thing to hear that, you know, nations are not the way to do. There has to be organization and structure. I understand. However, mm-hmm. Where's the good of the people in all of this in any country right now? That, I mean, including Britain, and there's no ism, there's no ology, there's no ocracy that is basically working out there. I think we need a brand new vision, and I don't think it's communism. I don't know what it is. Is it community sustainability and then a connection to the whole planet? What is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's people that I work with and others that I've run across that, you know, well, I don't want communism. Well, gee, guess what's going to be the number one economy by the end of this year? China. Total communism. There is some. Huh?
It's kind of a corrupt communism, but yeah.
Oh, I didn't say it was ideal, and it's nothing that I would really want to live under. You know, maybe we should be looking at a social democracy like Norway and Sweden and Holland, you know, some of these other countries that have this type of an aspect where, you know, the good of the many help out the one who may be, you know, struggling.
Well, they're small. The thing of it is that there's so many successful states like Denmark and Norway, and look what Iceland's done. Boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But the thing is that these are small states, you know.
They are small economies of scale, yes.
Yes, and it's manageable. This is the United States. It's huge, and mm-hmm. The democracy just doesn't seem to, it doesn't hold fairness for everyone. And there's so many right now that are under their necks are under the boot of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you have, you know, democracy and communism or something along that. But I think what we really need to be looking at is capitalism versus socialism versus communism, maybe the three blends. Capitalism, left to, without being regulated and left untethered, will become a predatory aspect.
I thought it was myself.
You're right. You're right. I will give you that it is, you know, as things are right now, one of the things I've written is it's one thing to be pro-business, but it's another thing to be enabling, corrupting capitalistic predatoryism. You can't be embracing that. You have to make it a point where everybody's got a fair shot at it.
Yeah. Well,
you can't have this deck stacked against the middle-class worker.
Well,
because all you do is end up driving him down to a third-world layer.
Well, that's true. I mean, and that's what's going on. Socialism works in many places. I mean, and socialism doesn't keep everybody at one. You can make as much money as you want. You contribute to the resource for all. And that I've seen but as they say, in European states, it's European countries are like our states. It's manageable that way.
Right.
It just simply doesn't go for the large, you know, the huge, the humongousness of America.
I'm kind of the optimist, and I say that somewhere in this blending spectrum, there is the answer. You know, there are answers to the problems. Matter of fact, I just saw tonight where Switzerland has just, they had a referendum, and now the minimum wage there is $14 an hour. France has, you know, many of the socialistic aspects. You know, sometimes they go a little more capitalistic to help motivate and stimulate things, but there's always still that social responsibility that for the good of the working, you know, for the citizens of France. And so there may be a blend in there that can be palatable and workable for the United States.
Yeah, that would probably work for a little while. I, you know, it's there's got to be something up on the horizon we haven't seen yet. I think we need a brand new vision.
Well, yeah, well, we need to step back and, you know, look at it through new eyes. You know, we can't say, well, this is the way we've always done it. That's, you know, when an engineer hears that, you know, trying to address a problem, then that's the first warning shot to saying, oh, so we've been doing it wrong. It's not working anymore, but we're going to continue on because this is the way we've always done it. Well, it's broke now. It doesn't work that way anymore.
That's
Let's
true.
Look at it, you know, from a different perspective, a different viewpoint, vantage point. Maybe that's what we need to do in this country.
It's hard to know. If we could just, and I think that's what Occupy was trying to really bring to people's conscious awareness to, was the consensus. People don't understand consensus, even though democracy is based in it, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right.
They truly don't understand it.
Of course, there's the, you know, there's the old adage, the truism today is, democracy is not pretty, but it, you know, it does work.
I guess so. Where is it working?
Well, okay, like I said, you know, these smaller scales, they're socialistic, but they're still democracies, the social democracies of Europe. Matter of fact, here's a perfect example is, you know, we talk about the need for making adjustments to counteract global warming. You know, 97% of the scientists and climatologists says, yes, it is happening. The proof is here. Even 61% of the Republicans, the mainline Republicans, say, yes, global warming is real. And 25% of the Tea Party says, yeah, global, you know, it's really real.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have Rubio coming out saying, no, it's not this, and things like that. He shot himself in the foot for any kind of presidential bid, but why does Florida keep tolerating him is beyond me.
Well, you know, I don't know how to – I vote in Florida, and I grew up down here. I grew up back and forth between New York and Florida, and my first vote was in New York State. And then I voted down here, and then I voted in Massachusetts, and now I'm voting down here again. And I voted in North Carolina, too. Oh, that was...
Well, you're just a regular traveling gypsy or whatever.
I've lived in many places. I'll tell you what, though, my editor was really good friends with somebody I had to tolerate at the dinner table. His name was Jesse Helms. And
oh, my gosh.
Only once did I have to do that. I had enough George Dunkle on me to say, oh, you know, being full of shit is being full of shit.
You know? That's right. And number one, I do sympathize. Of course, now here's another perfect example. Jesse Helms, man, oh, he was against civil rights, and we're not going to, you know, this is communism and all this stuff. He himself really does have a half black, half white, illegitimate daughter. So while he was saying, we're not going to give rights to the civil rights and, you know, all the horrors and all that all, meanwhile, he was having sexual relations with a black woman producing a child.
Well,
now, hypocritical, that's the word that comes to my mind.
There's been a lot of that. But, you know, you figure that old hypocritical in the face, on the face of it, can see it real clearly. You basically, you think, well, geez, we can see that real clearly. That's got to have gone by the, but if you take a look at what's going on in the Carolinas especially, I mean, my God, they've pedaled even further backward, you know?
Yeah. Well, I am somewhat more of an optimist. Political science professor and history professor there in the southern part of Florida at the university there, this is the one who called perfectly how the presidential election was going to go down state by state, you know, and basically said the President Obama was going to pull every battleground state except for North Carolina, I think, at that time. And he nailed it right on. He says, you know, they're trying to say Ohio's in play. He said it's not. Ohio is going to go with the president. And that's why before 8 o'clock, national news was already giving in the results that the president had won a second term. Well, he is now projecting, he said, and by 2016, if not by at least by 2020, even Texas will become blue, Democrat. Because the Latino immigration has seen the Republicans dog them, purge them, demagogue them, and those that were born in this country and growing up have heard this being directed towards their parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, every wave of immigration has suffered through it too. And, you know, for someone to come to a new country, not only to try to provide themselves a better life for themselves, but more importantly, towards their children, they're not going to forget that.
Well, no. As a matter of fact, it came up today. We were talking about Rubio and the crap he's been throwing out about all the lies he's told. He told lies about how he left Cuba and what was going on there and why he's here. And he's told lots of lies. And the old Cuban party, the older Cubans, South Florida,
that are going to go back and defeat Castro.
Yeah, that crowd, that waning old crotchety cane walking now group. Is basically supporting Rubio. But now he got elected, I think, because Kendall Meek had his hat in the ring still. He shouldn't have. He should have withdrawn and allowed Charlie Crist to run fully against, because Crist would have won it over. But Kendrick Meek, he didn't. He's corrupt, too.
Right.
His mom was one of my heroes for a long time, but she at the end, you know, they're going to be indicted before long.
So sad.
The backhanded lobbying, taking the money under the table there in Miami from the commission. But Rubio, When he went in on the coattails of these older Republican voters, the new or the younger Cuban community is primarily Democratic. They voted for Obama. And I don't think they really came out for the senatorial race that saw Rubio get in. I don't think they really went out and voted like they did for Obama. That was the other thing down here. You know, the vote got out. We worked our asses off to get Obama elected the first time. And we pounded the ground. I mean, I sat in Walmart parking lots and got told by the managers, you have to leave, and told them to go to hell. I could stay there.
I love doing that, too. So, handing out flyers and, you know. They don't like my free speech because it was, putting flyers on the windshield or handing them out right because it was bad for their business and basically, screw your business. I don't care, That affects me how?
you're definitely a part of the community here, buddy. I signed a lot of people up to vote. And it's getting rougher and rougher for people to vote because of what the Republicans are doing down here to make people, you know, get the right ID, all of that. People don't realize if you write in, for your vote, you know, request your, ballot through the mail.
Mm-hmm.
That's the safest way to vote anymore, I think.
Well, you're right. That's the purging of the voting rolls in Florida is legendary. It's considered one of the best political moves that basically gave W. Bush the presidency the first time around. It's not that he really won it. It's that they purged the voting rights, and their only aspects that you needed to have yourself purged was, do you have a tendency to vote for the Democrat versus the Republican? That was the only criteria.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I got to say, I think the next time around that the state will go presidentially, it'll probably go Democrat again. People are waking up, and the places where Republicans have power holds are the places where, you know, they've got so much bad press right now. It's where, you know, it's Grand Dragon retirement villages where they...
I love that euphemism. Love it. So, here's the other thing. Getting back to the professor, and his blog site is called theprogressiveprofessor.com. Very good man. Very brilliant. Does very well with what he does. And basically, the prediction is because there's more Democrats in the Senate up for election now. Some just retiring and things like that. There's more Democratic seats that basically he's projected that the Republicans will win in this 2014 time frame, the House again, and win the Senate back, only because of the demographics of how many Republican seats are up for, you know, a reelection versus how many Democrats. And it's just a law of averages that says, okay, the Republicans are going to take it back. The good news is the president still has the veto. But
that's true. The same can be said for what's his name with the 350 site, who accurately.
Oh yes. There's a lot. I can draw a lot of parallelism with them out there in New York.
Republicans were going to take, you know, that we're going to smash through. And I'm like, you know what? You guys are basing this on numbers. They're bean countering. On numbers that went before the public, before on the same old, same old. And I have to say, I think enough things have happened to people in their own personal lives to bring their awareness up to politics affecting them. Because of the prices they're paying and all of the, I mean, folks are beginning to wake up and realize they signed a mortgage agreement with a bank that allows them to go through their personal information and to exploit them. And I don't think that, and they see it directly as a result of banking and Republican politics. I mean, this is a conversation that people who are holding, who are still holding down middle class, quote, jobs, are saying, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, they're waking up to this stuff. They're also waking up to the lies they were told by this Democratic president, too. And what is, you know, we did kick Alan, what's his name?
Greenspan?
The congressman who had one term that was such a hate monger, the black man.
Was he the black man, last name Allen?
Yeah.
Yes, I know he's right. He was just a mouthpiece for the Klan in black clothes, you know, the black skin.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to call that one as I see it.
He really was. And the thing is that, you know, the guy hung out with the female version of Rush Limbaugh from Pompano Beach. And he wanted to bring her to D.C. as his major domo, and they told him up there, hey, no, you can't bring that kind of trash into town. You know, it just it's not gonna fly.
Right.
But he's really not too polished. All he knows how to do is use his military training to overtalk and shout down. He can do it with different ranges of voice, but he's a liar. He's nasty. The things he said about Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is she's become a political chick too. I mean, corrupt. Oh, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the things he said about her that were absolute lies and were ungentlemanly. You know, I mean, just awful stuff. I think people see all this down here, Wayne. I have an idea that, you know, the bean counters can get upset with their numbers, you know?
Right. Well, to come now full circle, this professor says is, now by the presidential election of 2016, because of the electoral votes in the areas that they are, you know, where, again, the bean counting numbers of the electoral votes, he says, basically, if Hillary won, she's won it. The bottom line is, if any Democrat runs against anybody that the Republican Party can put up right now, it's going to be a sweep for the Democrats. They will win back because the inverse now will happen in 2016. There'll be more Republicans seats in the Senate going to be up more versus Democrats. So again, you know, they're going to be won by the Democrats because the president, whoever is going to be the challenger, be it O'Malley out of Maryland or Hillary Clinton, they are going to sweep the whole country, and it's going to carry the Democrats through the House and possibly take back the Senate, but possibly even the House. So
well,
this man has been dead nuts right the whole time I've known him.
Well, you know, I don't know to say if it's good or bad because I see so much equal parts of equal parts as far as governing. But in the last minute that we have here, who do you think's going to run for the Democratic candidate?
Well, like I said, I'm thinking O'Malley. Who's the governor of Maryland. He'll be finishing up his second term. Definitely Hillary. And if Hillary decides to run, I think with the political machine that she and Bill have and the clout that they have within the Democratic Party, she could very easily be the Democratic candidate. But, you know, maybe O'Malley will be her vice president or something like that. And I'm trying to think who else might be a good choice. I've heard they've mentioned some others on this professor's site that they mentioned, but these are O'Malley, of course, being from Maryland, and I know of him and what he's done in Maryland. He's done so many good things. Of course, the Republicans can't stand him, and I mean, everything, you know, it's almost like Obama. Anything O'Malley does in Maryland or anything that happens in Maryland, it's all O'Malley's fault, you know? The little town of, you know, Somethingburg, you know, flooded because of dam broke. Well, that was O'Malley's fault. Okay, right. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We're right down to the minute. I want to thank you for being on with me, Wayne.
It's my pleasure, always.
I look forward to hearing you next week here with me and with Jack.
That's right.
I'll be out there at the ball game, you know. I hope his team won, and I want to encourage everybody to tune in tomorrow evening for Spirit Therapy with Nicole Tomasini, and on Friday evening, Wise Woman Media with Anita Stewart. She's got some really great Florida politics and with women to put out to you, so please dig into the archives, too. This has been the Sunday Show. On Here Be Monsters with Wayne Johnson and myself, Gwen Berry. And Wayne, thank you.
Well, I thank you. And again, I look forward to next week. So, bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Peace out. Thank you. And this is the end of the Sunday show. Chris, have a great Sunday evening.